We're all wondering what the weather's going to be like once again here in the course of late winter into spring. And, of course, we got some storm spotter training classes to get talk about as well. The man to talk about it, Jesse from the National Weather Service, once again in Goodland, makes his way up to McCook to visit with the media today. How you doing?
Doing well. It was an early morning.
Because you're a mountain time zone.
Yes.
A little bit. So, yeah, it's an hour difference there. It's kind of affects you a little bit.
A little bit. And then hour difference, so I had to get up earlier and then drive another 2 hours. So, yeah, it was rather early.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And it might hit you later on in the day, about 5, 6 o'clock or so.
Yep. I did warn my wife. When I come home, I'm probably going to want to sleep a little bit.
Exactly right. You bet you first. Let's start first. Storm spotter training classes. You've already kicked off. You had one already. Yeah, but you got a bunch of others coming up here in February into March, too, don't you?
That's right. We had our first one on Wednesday in Goodland, but we have 18 more coming up. Next one is next Wednesday in Oakley, Kansas. But we have them all across the counties we serve in northwest Kansas and southwest Nebraska. So to find the dates and times for those, it's on our website, weather.gov/GLD. Once again, weather.gov/GLD. We're also advertising those on social media, Facebook and Twitter. So every Sunday afternoon, we'll push out what the classes are for that week and then have a text reminder sent the morning of the class.
You rely on the storm spotters for a lot of info, don't you?
Absolutely. Our technology is incredible now. We can see fires of small 10 acres by satellite, but nothing beats the human telling us what they're actually seeing. Because our radar, extraordinary piece of equipment, but it doesn't see everything. It can't tell us what's reaching the ground. Especially clear out here like McCook, Hill City, our lowest scan is 10,000 feet off the ground. A lot can happen in that distance. So that's why we need spotters telling us what's really happening.
Of course, Jesse, we have been a little active. We were a little active, I should say, right before, Thanksgiving and Christmas. I can't remember the exact date, but you know what I'm talking about, the big hailstorm where it just sit over McCook and just hailed and hailed and hailed. And you were sending warnings out like crazy, weren't you?
Yes, that was a very unique storm. Produced hail, I think the biggest was 3.5 inches in diameter. Incredible hail. And then also had flooding in McCook. We don't have that kind of flooding very often. So that is actually one of the storms we're going to look at during the train, just to give folks an idea of what sort of traits on the radar do we watch to get a heads up as far as what to expect with the weather. So that's one of the new sections we have for this year.
So if you've never been to one of these training classes, or you've been to them and just want to get more information, either or, please show up, right?
That's right. I've even had my own relatives say, I'm not going to go this year. I've been there in past years. It's all the same. Well, no, it's not. We get in new videos, new pictures of storms, so you can learn every year something new. We even have some new sections for this year that we've never done before. One of them is the radar interrogation, like I mentioned earlier, where we actually look at three different types of events, severe weather events last year, and go through some of the highlights as far as what features do we look at to give you guys an idea of what to be preparing for when watching radar. Another one that's new for this year is looking at AI imagery. As I'm sure we're all aware of, and artificial intelligence is incredibly good about making pictures and video that look very convincing. So in the last section of training, we're going to go through some different pictures of supercells and tornadoes and ask people, is this real or is this a fake? Mm-hmm. And then also at the end of that, give you some tips on how to identify what a fake might be. But it's still very, very hard, which is why we need spotters out there, people we can trust to tell us what's really going on.
So there's more every year. It's something new. It's not just the same old info. It's something new every year for you.
Yes, to bring people back, help them learn, because there's so much to learn about the weather.
So we're always interested in what the winter is going to be like and what the summer is going to be like, spring and summer. We're going to have storms. We need some rainfall, Jesse. That's for sure. The drought situation, I think you came out with some information the other day on drought. It's hitting us hard here in the Midwest, isn't it?
Yes, it's been a very pleasant winter, very nice, but that's also not giving us the rain the snow that we need for this time of year. So that is something we're watchful for. Looking at the long range, yesterday's model analysis was showing maybe middle part of next month we could see a change in the weather pattern, but models ever since November have been pushing that time frame for a changeover. But at some point, we're going to switch over to that wet and cooler time frame weather pattern.
I keep thinking, when springtime hits, when we get into March, April, May, it's going to hit then. It might not hit any time during the winter months, Jesse, but I have a feeling the winds, and maybe not necessarily heavy snow or something like that, but I think we'll see some more moisture in springtime.
Yes, that's what it's looking like. Yeah. And what's concerning, good and bad, is we need the rain, but it looks like it might come with a price. We're having, right now we're in La Nina, so right now that's going to be warmer and drier, which is what we've had. But as we go into spring, we're going to be switching from that to neutral and then El Nino. Mm-hmm. So El Nino is going to be wetter for us. We're also compounding that by switching into spring. So those two factors combined together are going to could lead to a very active weather season for us.
It's interesting this weekend because in the Midwest, gosh, we got 60s and close to 70. In the northeastern United States, that polar vortex is sliding down. They're going to get really cold temperatures again this weekend, aren't they?
Yes, and once again, that goes back to the classic setup for La Nina, where this part of the country, we're kind of in that transition zone, but we're more favoring the wetter, or excuse me, not the wetter, the drier and warmer, a little wetter, a little bit further east in the Ohio River Valley. But yeah, the northeast, they are really getting walloped by the cold and the snow.
Yeah, and just a week or so ago, it was further south, the parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and it slid on over to some of the southern states. All those folks did get the snow and ice and cold weather.
They did, and that storm system just missed our neck of the woods, unfortunately. But that's how it goes in wintertime. I know it's dry, we really need it, but all we need is one good storm, and that can bring us back to where we need to be.
Exactly right. When is it going to be? We just don't know. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
That is.
You bet. What else with the National Weather Service? We talked about Storm Spotter, training classes. That's big right now. You post a lot of stuff on your website, don't you?
Yes. We really encourage people leading up to and during hazardous weather, especially this time of year, winter weather. Please be keeping track of what's going on with our website, Facebook, and Twitter, and radio partners like this one that keep relaying that information out to their listeners. That's really crucial to give you guys the most accurate information so people can make the best decision they can given the situation.
All right, weather.gov, that is the website. You said you're all over social media too, aren't you?
Yes, on our Facebook page is facebook.com/NWS Goodland and on Twitter as well.
Yeah, I know over the past couple of months, really over the past year, so we're doing a lot more with the media. You need people to connect with each other in weather, don't you?
Yes, and it's 20 years ago, we didn't do social media because that wasn't the avenue that people have now to get news. So a lot of people, my wife, that's where she gets most of her news now is Facebook. So we're trying to cater more to that, get more people in with that weather information to them, because if that's what they're watching, then we need to be meeting that need with the weather information there.
All right. What else? Anything else we should know about, once again, with the National Weather Service in Goodland?
I want to reiterate just how important spotters are, because too many times I think people just assume, oh, my weather report, it doesn't matter. Someone else is going to let you know. Well, out here in the High Plains, there's a lot of open country in between towns. And when the weather strikes, we're not being choosy as far as who to warn. We warn everyone. Even if it's one person that warning, they still deserve a warning. So we need everyone out there to be relaying what they see to us. If something catches your attention with the weather, tell us about it. We'd rather be overwhelmed with weather reports than get nothing. And I can tell you, too many times we've had storms that we're all saying, oh, that's got to be producing 2-inch hail. No one tells us about it. So please take that minute or two of your time and send us that information. There are different avenues to do that. Of course, we have our Facebook and Twitter pages. You can give us a phone call. We share that information on the spotter class, but also text messaging. That phone number is going to be on the top of our Facebook page, and we do share that during our spotter training classes. So we encourage you to put that on your phone, because when you need it, you're not going to be able to remember it at the moment. So put that on your phone while you're thinking about it, and then you have it for that time to send us a report.
I think after that last hailstorm, Jesse, we're good for a while. With all everybody that had to get a new roof and get new windshields for the cars, including me, I think we're good. We've had our storm, but we can't pick and choose, you know.
No, I mean, and as you mentioned, this year looks like it could be even more active than last year. That was just one storm. Imagine having several of those possibly move through. So this year is probably going to be different than last year.
I was wondering. I'm glad you brought that up. The Storms Prediction Center, have they come out with information on what the summer could be like for the Midwest?
The Storm Prediction Center, they don't quite look that far out. It's more like a week in advance, but you probably think of the Climate Prediction Center.
Okay, yeah.
And right now, we're kind of on, at least from their standpoint, equal chances for normal, above, or below. So it doesn't tell you a whole lot.
Right.
And that's, I think, really because there is, as I mentioned earlier, that pattern change. We're going to have it. It's just a question of when. Now, going back to the summertime, we talked to all of our partners about it's going to be dry. And we started saying that in May. But the models kept pushing it back, delaying it, and it ended up finally being in September where we went from kind of the active pattern to the drier. So if the summer is in the indication, probably another 3 or 4 months, and we'll see that. So we start talking cold in January. So same time duration, maybe end of March, beginning of April, we could see that pattern shift. So not a guarantee, just kind of a best guess at this point.
Not only with the storms, we should say, but the red flag warnings, the fire danger, we've had that for how many years now? You really keep on top of that too, don't you?
Yes, and you know, believe it or not, wildfires cause more damage than mm-hmm. tornadoes do out here. And a conversation that caught my attention the other day at work was people saying, you know, tornadoes aren't going to be the risk of burning, of getting a town. It's going to be fires.
Mm-hmm.
And how true that is, for those of you who are aware of the fires in Yuma County last month, or I think it was December actually now,
yeah.
Terrible fires that on a very, very high wind day, actually started overnight, very low humidity. With all the rain we had last year, it was just a perfect setup for all that tall, dead grass, and that grass is still there.
Mm-hmm.
So until we green up this spring, we're going to have big fire risk days as we have those very unseasonably warm, pleasant days with a little bit of wind. That's a perfect setup to have a fire come out of control.
It's one thing that's given around here, Jesse, is the wind's going to blow this spring. It's
yes.
automatic. It might be 65, 70 wonderful degrees, or it might be 20 degrees, but the wind's going to blow.
Yes, and like I said, this time of year, if you're thinking about lighting up a pile on fire, if it's a really nice day but it's breezy, that's probably not the best day because it's going to be very, very dry out there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's a given. It's probably going to happen again as we get into the next couple of months in the summertime with the heat and stuff like that. And if we don't get a lot of rain, you're going to have those red flag warnings a lot, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. And once again, until we green up, that's going to be a big risk. Along with that, dust storms. You know,
okay.
We've been
yeah.
so dry. I think one thing that has saved us from not having a lot of dust storms with windy days is the wheat. The wheat has looked, at least northwest Kansas, I didn't see it this morning because it was dark
yeah.
coming up, but the wheat had just been terrific. So that's helping keep the dust down. But there will be those days. We had it in January and December, some dust storm days. So just a reminder about dust storm safety. It's counterintuitive, but if you see a wall of dust coming at you, don't drive into it. You mm-hmm. don't know what's in there waiting for you. Get off the road as quickly but safely as possible. Turn your lights off. Put your vehicle in park. Take your foot off the brake. You don't want to be seen. Now, you're probably thinking, why in fog? I want my lights on. Well, fog is different. Dust storms, there is no sense of where you're at. No, there's nothing for reference. You lose all sense of bearing. So if people see your lights, they don't know you're stopped because there's no frame of reference. So that's why I want you to be invisible and wait out. Don't get out of your car. We've had people get out of their cars in a dust storm. If you can't see a vehicle, how are you going to see a person and
right.
all that?
Mm-hmm.
So do those things. Get off the road as quick as possible. Lights off, foot off the brake, vehicle in park, wait it out. Now, there's another scenario where, say, it's a quarter of dust across the road, not moving. Don't go into it. If you can't see through it, don't drive through it because you don't know, once again, what's in there. Maybe someone went in there ahead of you and stopped because they couldn't see. You don't know. So once again, if you can't see through it, you don't know how long that's going to last. Don't drive in it. Go around.
You talked about fog. We had a lot of fog, I thought, before Christmas, you know, during that time. And the old wise tales, if you get fog like 30 days later, it's supposed to get moisture. It never
it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
I guess that's why I say it's a wise tale, not fact.
Yeah, never. We were counting all this. Oh, we got a lot of foggy days. That means good stuff. No, never happened. So, oh well.
Yes.
We'll cross fingers that Mother Nature can turn things around for us a little bit sometime soon.
Yes, it's just a matter of time. I know it's really disheartening seeing all this rain go north of us, south of us, east of us, but our time will come. That pattern shift will change, and we'll be on the other side of the coin wishing, hey, let's slow down here, not get so active. Give us a break here.
Right, exactly right. Again, weather.gov, Jesse, hit the website, hit the Facebook page. You're all over Twitter, X, and all the social media. All the information's right there, isn't it?
That's right. Our website, once again, weather.gov/GLD, weather.gov/GLD. The spotter training link is right at the top of the page. And then facebook.com/NWSGoodland and also on Twitter.
Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Have a good weekend.
You as well, Rich.
Jesse from the National Weather Service once again in Goodland.